Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the gospel lesson, John 15, 26 to 16, 4. Our primary focus will be revealed through this one main question. What does it mean to bear witness about Christ? So first of all, Jesus says that when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, Jesus says. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. John 15, 26 and 27. The disciples will bear witness because they have seen all of Jesus' ministry. They know who he is. They know what his teachings are. They know how he kept God's law perfectly. And because they were with Jesus from the very beginning, they were well prepared to counter the world's response to Christ and to receive the same such response with grace and patience when it would finally be directed at them. Just before our gospel text, like right before the text, part of this passage, Jesus told the disciples that if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If they persecuted me, he says, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, well, they will also keep your word. John 15, 18 and 19 and 20b, the second half of 20. And this is true for us to this very day. We are unashamed of the gospel, and we do not shrink back from the world's hatred and persecution. The disciples got the same thing as Christ. I skipped over John 15, 20a. Here it is. A servant is not greater than his master. It was important that the disciples know who Jesus is, that he is the very Son of God sent by his Father to save sinners, the loving, sacrificial, prophesied Messiah. It's important the disciples know what Jesus teaches, how he lived, why he died, and that he rose again from the grave as the first fruits of the resurrection for all who believe that he lived under the law perfectly in their stead for them and rescued them from this dark world. So why is it important? It's important so that they will be able to bear witness about who Christ really is. In the face of hatred and false accusations, in the face of persecution, because Christ said the world hated him, and therefore they will hate his people. Your shepherd, Jesus, you know, your pastor, you know he's a bigot, right? He teaches that anyone who doesn't know the Father won't go to heaven. He actually said that. You got to go through him to get there. And he's a racist too. He said that he only came to serve the house of Israel. What about everybody else? Doesn't he care about everyone else? You know, Samaritan lives matter. He also hates women. He didn't choose a single woman to be part of his 12 disciples. Did you notice that? Not a single one in his inner circle. He definitely doesn't stand for women's reproductive rights. And it just shows how much of a hypocrite your pastor really is. Because while he wants to protect little children, he also supports the death penalty, threatening people with being tossed into the sea with a millstone hung around their necks if they hurt a little child. What a hypocrite. Oh, and yes, he is homophobic. He teaches that marriage, get this, is between one man and one woman. How close-minded can you get? I don't know how anyone can follow such a self-proclaimed Messiah who isn't for diversity, equity, or inclusion. This is how the age-old false allegations are framed for us in our day. So we often think that if it would happen to us, if what the disciples went through, well, sure, we would recognize it, and then we would do exactly what they did, and we would stay true until death. But the devil is craftier than we are. He's been at this for 2,000 years. Is anyone 2,000 years old? I got one brother in the back. I just said the devil's been at it for 2,000 years. That guy might want to get out of here. No, he's had a lot more experience at this. He knows how to take his same old lies and hit us in a way where we're not really ready for it. We're in a way where we can start to justify our inaction. Where we can really just kind of figure out loopholes so we don't have to do that uncomfortable thing of bearing our cross. And so the disciples bore witness about Christ so we wouldn't. So we would know clearly that none of those false accusations, no matter how they've been framed for 2,000 years, are true. They knew those statements were false because they knew the context of everything Jesus said. People could cherry pick verses out of Jesus' sermons. They could do whatever they want. And they say, well, that's not what he meant. That's not what he was saying. I was there. They know the context and the reality of every false accusation, every allegation. Jesus, of course, isn't a bigot. He came to reveal the Father so that everyone could know the Father and be made part of his kingdom. There is only one way to heaven, yes. Jesus taught that. And he opened that way up to everybody. If you don't take that way, that's not on him. That's on you. And he isn't a racist, of course. He gathers all people to himself. But he is the God of order. And so he did things in an orderly fashion. His focus during his earthly ministry was on the house of Israel, not because he aims to exclude all the Gentiles, the other ethnicities, but because he was fulfilling God's promise to save his covenant people of faith so that every other people group could be grafted onto that healthy tree of life. Is a mother crashing on an airplane wrong to put the oxygen mask on herself so that she can breathe long enough to put the oxygen mask on her child? No. Anti-woman? Hardly. If he hated women, he wouldn't have shown compassion on so many of them during his earthly ministry. Time after time, it was Jesus that was healing them of their illnesses, even illnesses that only a woman could have, saving them from being stoned to death, helping them save face in the front of their accusers in public, making sure that the widows were cared for, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so on and so forth with every conceivable hate-filled lie about Jesus. There are so many people hate Jesus. They come up with all these ways to want to reject him and stay away from him and to justify their action, to feel good at night that they weren't in church, that they weren't in their Bible, that they're not obeying the Lord. But they know it stings. They know it's not right. And the disciples can rebuff all the false accusations because they were there. They were with him from the beginning. And now we can rebuff all these false accusations too. And we can speak about them openly without worry of what they might do to us. What might someone do to me if I mention the word homosexual out loud? Well, they might kill me. Okay, what else could they do to me? They got anything worse? That's literally our position. All but one of the 12 disciples died, murdered for Christ. Should I expect to be anything less than that? Why would I want to be deprived of such a glorious end? So we can rebuff these false accusations too, because they were eyewitnesses and they wrote it down. The disciples knew the man. They sat at his feet. Oh, I wish I could have been there. They ate meals with him. I get to do that. Yeah. They live with him. I get to do that as well. Because they had done these things since the beginning of his ministry. They were well informed to bear faithful witness about whom Christ is, our truly loving, law-keeping, crucified, and risen Lord and Savior. This is our God. No one, you know I like to say it, no one can take away your birthday because Christ died for you. You've been baptized. No one can take away that either. This is what it means to bear witness about Christ, to speak the truth about him, despite what the world says. The disciples got to do it in a special way, just because of their timing, living with him, their place in history. They were eyewitnesses. But we have been baptized into the same privilege. They shared the true testimony of Jesus Christ, writing it down and preaching it to the Christians everywhere, including us. Now, we receive their words as from Christ Jesus himself. We receive the messenger, and so we receive the one who sent the messenger, and so we receive the reward that he earned. And in doing so, we become witnesses of what he received, they received, and we receive it ourselves. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that all of our sins have been forgiven, that we have been given salvation, rescue from this fallen dark world, eternal life in Christ Jesus. We bear witness about Christ as we share the Holy Scriptures with our neighbors out of love, that they too would know they're forgiven. Thanks be to God that the disciples bore witness about Christ, that they were willing to be sacrificed, killed, martyred for that. If it was not for the Holy Spirit working in them to do so, none of us, none of you would be saved. If those guys wouldn't have put their necks on the line, we would not have the New Testament. We would not know the fullness of what Jesus taught. We may not even know who Jesus was. Jesus didn't write a single thing down. You know that? I mean, Jesus didn't write the New Testament. His witnesses did. His disciples did. The Lord relied from the very beginning, relied on mankind to write down and record what he did. And in doing so, he brought us into that. It's what Christians do. We spread the word. Thanks be to God that our faithful apostles remained true to the Lord and didn't fall away when they were put out of the synagogues. That's what he says, right? You will be put out of the synagogues. But they persevered in their witness to Christ, even unto death, dying for the truth of the Messiah so that you and I could hear the gospel and know that Jesus came into this world to fulfill God's law in our place, because we can't keep the law. I can't do it on myself. Without Jesus, I'm damned. I need Jesus. He took my punishment. He took your punishment upon himself. He took everyone in this world's punishment upon himself. That's the word we want to spread to the world. To sinners like us. Because the world is still full of hate. The world still persecutes Christians when they're bold enough to speak the truth. But because the disciples and the Spirit bear witness to Jesus, we know the truth of who he is. We can see through the lies. He is your Redeemer. He was crucified and resurrected for you. Not because you're all that great, but because you're not. Because you're a sinner. Just like everyone else. He was crucified and resurrected so that you would not fall away. So that you would live in repentance, trusting in your baptism, that forgiveness of sins you received. And he sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with his disciples and with us, so that we would remember his teaching, his life, his death, and his resurrection. It was all for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.